There we go. All right, so Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face. Who will prepare your way? The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locust and wild honey. And he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Last week we started looking at the Advent wreath. And each of the five candles represents something different. An important element in the coming of Christ and our expectation of him. There are three purple candles that represent hope, peace, and joy. And a pink candle that represents love. And a white candle, the Christ candle, that represent the totality of the five elements of the Christmas story. This week we're going to cover the second candle, the candle of peace. One of the hallmarks of the Christian story, or the Christmas story, is when the angels appear in the to the shepherds and proclaim peace on earth in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Jesus brought about peace in the most unexpected ways. Whoops. I missed. Hopefully it doesn't catch the greenery on fire again this time. The Jews, particularly the Zealots, wanted a rebellion. They wanted their Savior to overturn the oppressive rule of the Romans and bring about peace in a violent way. But Jesus had something else in mind. As mentioned before, through all of our study of Luke, and Jesus brings us peace in a number of ways. First, he gives us inner peace. Because of his work on the cross, we have a chance to receive salvation and be indwelled by the Holy Spirit. This grants us an inner peace. Not only do we have the peace that comes from our assurance of salvation, but we also have the peace of mind knowing God will heal this broken world and will come again. Second, we have peace with others. We put aside our differences, especially with other believers, because we belong to the same family. We have the same purpose to let others know about the peace of Christ. The Hebrew word for peace, shalom, goes far beyond not fighting with others or peace as we know it. Shalom is, in essence, how things are meant to be. A slice of heaven. The peace of God allows us to look at others through heaven's eyes and will help guide the world to see God's here and not yet here kingdom. Peace from God, biblical peace, allows us to trust in God's promises through restful, tranquil faith, despite the dark, scary world around us. So what does the Bible say about peace? Well, not surprisingly, the Bible has a lot to say about it. It attributes peace to Jesus himself, calling him the Prince of Peace. In a scary and violent world, the peace of God grants us a tranquility you can't find anywhere else and offers a light to others who do not yet know that peace. We live in an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, revenge culture. We also live in scary times, but the peace of God transcends our circumstances and world. With this, we can rest assured that he will come and make everything right once again. Our peace can also stir the curiosity of those who do not believe in Christ. They will see us exercise a spirit of tranquility, faith, and they will want to know the reason for our faith in shaky times. When they ask, we can have a reason at the ready. I'm not afraid because I have the peace of Christ. Let's pray. Father, you are the God who gives peace. The second week of Advent causes us to remember that because of Jesus, we can experience a Christmas free from turmoil and chaos. Regardless of our circumstances or our situations, you offer us peace that passes understanding. That first Christmas when you sent your Son, you sent the one who is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Even the angels cried out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." The angels knew your purpose. They know the gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love that Christmas held. They recognized that the fullness of God was wrapped in the tiny flesh of an infant as you humbled yourself and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us, as baby Jesus. That baby would grow to be the same God-man, Jesus, who would again humble himself to face death on a cross as payment for our sin. He would triumphantly defeat sin and death and hell in order to cancel our sin debt and reconcile us to you, Father. You exalt him and give him a name above all names, where every knee in heaven and earth and under the earth must bow to the name of Jesus. The winds and waves obey him. He rules and reigns as king over all. No situation or circumstance that we find ourselves in is a match for Jesus. Father, the second week of Advent, keep us in perfect peace in our mind as we focus on the truth of your powerful love. Thank you for your mighty, sovereign hand. Help us to trust fully in you and rest in the peace that you offer. It's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.